Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Pick and Roll Podcast, and today I've got a good one for you guys. So basically today, like I introed last week, is going to be the breakdown of my 2021 NBA Draft Big Board. This is when Chris and I were doing the Pick and Roll Podcast. So yeah, this is going to be review, basically checking out what I may have gotten wrong or right about my first ever Big Board, see how the players are doing, and see what, you know, lessons could be learned from things that I either got correct or wrong about in these mocks and this big board. Alrighty, let's go ahead and kick it to the number one player on my big board, which was Jalen Green. I viewed him as a generational shooting guard talent. I thought he was a number one draft pick talent. I thought that he could be a lot like Zach LaVine, and that when he grew into his body frame, he would be able to finish at the rim better like Zach LaVine. Unlocked like 4 or 5 years into his career, because he came into the NBA with a really small frame as well. So I still feel pretty confident about that comp. It's just, again, like it took a few years for Zach LaVine to put it together. I think I'll take a Jalen Green a few years to put it together, body frame wise, to finish at the rim and be more efficient. But right now, this is about 3 years into his career. He's averaging 19.6 points per game, 5.2 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 42% field goal percentage, 33% three-point percentage. You know, Jalen Green is definitely a very highly athletic finish at the rim, three-point shot creating. You know, he has so much high upside just because his athletic gifts are just so hard to find. You know, but he definitely has, you know, definitely more room to grow. Last year, he was at a similar points per game mark. I think he was actually averaging 22 a game or something like that. And yeah, I mean, Jalen Green was affected by Alperen Sengun's growth this year. And I think that those two still kind of haven't figured out how to play with each other and, you know, be the best players they can be together. So I definitely feel like as they grow, playing with each other and playing next to each other with time, I think it'll definitely improve, you know, both of their abilities. And, you know, the Houston Rockets have so much high upside because, you know, they have such a good team, young team. They were almost made the playoffs. You know, Jalen Green's kind of learning how to play with that group and grow his game at the same time. So, you know, I do think Jalen Green still has a really high upside. I still think, you know, if out of this draft class, he'll definitely still be top five best players, I think, in the future. And it's just going to still, he still hasn't really grown into his full body frame yet. So we just haven't seen the best of him yet. So, no. Alrighty, let's get to the number two guy on my big board, which was Cade Cunningham. I viewed him as a number one draft pick talent. I viewed him as a really, you know, you could call him slow in a general sense, but you know, his height, definitely 6'7", 6'8". I think he actually measured in at the combine at 6'8", which is pretty crazy. I remember that. And yeah, he's so tall, long shot creating. You know, I didn't think that he was going to be the next Luka Doncic. Like, most people were making that comparison and calling him a generational talent. You know, I didn't personally see that. I thought he would be a little bit below that, but still be a very, very good player. You know, Cade Cunningham has definitely been that. I mean, he's 3 years into his career. He was drafted number one overall. He's averaging 22 points per game, 4.3 rebounds, 7.5 assists, 44% field goal percentage, 35% three-point percentage. I mean, in this draft class, he still probably has the highest upside. You could definitely be like a 28-9 guy. I could definitely see that. He's definitely going to be the face of Detroit's franchise for the next 10 years, as long as they retain him. But yeah, I mean, Cade Cunningham looks like a leader as well, good passer. Cade Cunningham's done so well in the NBA. He's definitely going to continue to do well. He was definitely worth the number one draft pick for sure. Alrighty. The number 3 guy ranked on my big board is Jonathan Kuminga. I was really high in his athletic gifts, and well, he was the 7th pick by the Golden State Warriors. I was really high in his athletic gifts. Really, you know, in the G League, he showed a lot more mid-range shot creation than he showed in the Golden State Warriors so far. He's only starting to show it just a little bit throughout this last season to the Golden State Warriors. But, you know, he has a high upside. He definitely needs to continue working on his three-point shot because that was a weakness coming out of the G League. I think it was, like, pretty abysmal. His shooting splits were pretty poor coming out of the G League. But he's a great athlete, great defender. Last year, he averaged 16.1 points per game, 4.8 rebounds, 2.2 assists, 52% field goal percentage, and 32% three-point percentage. I definitely feel like for the next, once Steph, Clay, Draymond leave the Warriors, he's the next guy. Like, he'll be the face of the franchise for a few years for them, I think, unless they hit on some other young draft picks. But they're kind of in an odd spot where they're not going to get a ton of lottery picks. So if I'm the Golden State Warriors, I don't move on off basically one of the few young assets that I have. I definitely feel like he has a high upside. Could definitely be like a 25-point-per-game score. But, you know, he's at a point in time where he's got to make a skill outside of just driving to the rim that he can rely on. And, you know, in the G League, it looked like it was going to be a mid-range shot creation, so that could definitely be the thing that he just naturally grows into with time. Alrighty, the number 4 ranked guy on my big board was Evan Mobley. You know, I definitely saw him being such a great defender. He's definitely one of the better defenders I've scouted. You know, he definitely had really intriguing shot creation off the handle and, you know, really smooth feet, and finishing at the rim was really interesting. Definitely could be a solid standstill three-point shooter, and the shot creation off the handle wasn't like super polished, but there is a lot of high upside there offensively. Me personally, I was really worried about him playing the center position because I thought his body frame was too raw. I obviously was wrong about that in the general sense of, like, I should have just been like, oh, power forward, right? You know what I mean? I even wrote there at the bottom, like, oh, his best way to, like, actually develop his skill set was try to, like, pattern his game after Anthony Davis, because if he could be, like, a power forward until he grows into his body, in a body frame, he'll be fine, right? And I should have seen, oh, you know, him as a power forward allows you to be an incredible defensive team like the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen really allows them to be as good of a defensive team that they currently are. And, you know, that also with his shot creation and things of that nature, it allows him to play against smaller players while he's playing at the power forward position. It kind of exposed them as well. So it was his real positional fit. You know, long term, can he be a center? Sure. Like 4 or 5 years into his career, as he grows into his body frame even more. And, you know, I definitely feel like I got that thought process and vision incorrect. So, but, you know, right now he was the 3rd pick in the draft, averaging 15.7 points per game, 9.4 points, 3.2 assists, 58% field goal percentage, and 37% three-point percentage. His three-point shot has definitely come a long way this year. You know, he definitely still has flashes of really interesting shot creation for his game. And whenever it clicks, the Cavs are going to be so tough. Because if he can kick it to, like, 20 a game, be, like, their 3rd score and be really efficient. I'm not even asking for, like, 25. But if you have 20-point-per-game score next to Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, it'd be really interesting long-term because, man, they play good defense because of him and Jared Allen. So he's on a really good team, and he's a really important player in the NBA, and he's definitely defensively everything anybody thought he could be because the man's the real deal defensively. The number 5 ranked guy on my main board was James Bouknight. You know, I really loved his shot creation ability off the dribble. I really was in love with it. You know, I really thought that was really going to translate to the NBA because I thought he reminded me of CJ McCollum. He's obviously not hit that. He was the 11th pick in the draft, 3.6 assists, 0.6 rebounds, 0.4 assists a game, 43% field goal percentage, 43% three-point percentage. You know, this guy's definitely a bust. It's looking like that so far. And I was definitely wrong about James Bouknight. And yeah, I hopefully, because I only watched highlights back then. Hopefully, if I watched full games, I would have seen different things. But, you know, in the highlights that I did see, he honestly reminded me of CJ McCollum. And I was definitely wrong about that, for sure. Alrighty, let's go ahead and go from one person I was wrong about to the next one. Davion Mitchell. I had him sixth on my big board. You know, he was 6'1", which did worry me a little bit, but should have worried me a little more. You know, his highlight tape had so many deep three-point shot creation from the three-point line, and his shooting splits at Baylor weren't that bad, and his obvious defensive gifts was really good. So I was really, you know, thought really highly of him. He was the ninth pick in the draft, so he was at least, you know, pretty close to where I was. Had him on my big board. And, you know, it's, yeah, average this year is averaging 5.3 points per game, 1.3 rebounds, 1.9 assists, 45% field goal percentage, 36% 3-point percentage. I mean, first off, did he get drafted to a terrible fit? Yes. I mean, getting drafted to Sacramento when they already have De'Aaron Fox was a terrible idea. You know, he needed to be a point guard, even though he's a great defender on ball. He's only 6'1". You'd only want to guard in guards, because even though he's a good defender, guarding 6'5", 6'6", two guards is going to shoot over him. So, you know, Donovan Mitchell is somebody that was drafted in a terrible position. But, you know, we can all be honest about the fact that his deep 3-point shot creation just did not translate from Baylor to the NBA. And, you know, without that skill set, he doesn't really have much else to really lean on to really, you know, put points on the board. And because of that, he was a bust, definitely for the ninth pick and definitely for the sixth guy on my big board. The number seventh guy on the big board was Kai Jones. Man, I bought into the athletic gift so bad. I really did. You know, this is probably one of the better athletes I've seen. 6'10". Athletic, he flashed some handle, taxes. I thought he could be a 3-point shooting power forward that could handle to the rim, and it's with his athletic gifts, finish at the rim. I was totally wrong about that. Man, was I wrong about that. And I definitely feel like he, in the NBA, I definitely felt like he definitely did not meet this potential whatsoever. I don't know if he's more focused on TikTok dances than the NBA. I don't know. You know, he was the 19th pick, so he's even way lower than he was on my big board drafted wise. And he averaged 3.4 points per game, 2.7 rebounds, 0.3 assists, and 55% field goal percentage, 21% 3-point percentage, his most recent stats. And I definitely feel like, you know, the lesson taken from this is do not be overly bought into highly athletic guys. This was definitely a lesson learned, because it's easy to just look at athletic guys and be like, man, so many of the all-time greats have athleticism and skill. You just can't tease those athletic gifts. And it just doesn't translate as well as you think. Not a highly athletic guy that's just not that talented, that, you know, can't play the center position, for example. You know, I definitely feel like Kai Jones could have been, yeah, you know, such a better player with his athletic gifts. But this was definitely a lesson learned scouting wise, is to not watch too much of the talent, right? Taking the skill and the talent, you know what I mean? And I, you know, don't overrate athletic gifts in the NBA, as odd as it sounds, is definitely the best way to put it. Alrighty, the eighth ranked guy that I had way too low was Scotty Barnes. It was the fourth pick. You know, I understood, you know, that he was going to be a really great defender with his length and his defensive gifts coming out of college. Dude looked unreal. Strong body frame, extremely fluid. And, you know, you did see, even in the highlights that I watched of him running the pick and roll and attacking the rim and putting pressure at the rim. But the rest of his game looked really raw. And, you know, I didn't think that, you know, that he would be able to be translating that pick and roll ability and ball handling ability to the NBA. And he's a great lesson, though, because Scotty Barnes is top three, like this year, probably this year specifically, he's probably the best player in this draft class. He's the only one that made the All-Star team. Probably edge out Cade Cunningham, because they, you know, he averaged 20 points per game, 19.9. So essentially 20 points per game, 8.2 rebounds, 6.1 assists, 47% field goal percentage, 31% 3-point percentage. So he's just below Cade in scoring, but his defensive gifts definitely allows him to catch up with Cade. And I'll say this about Scotty Barnes is, you know, he's definitely a lesson learned, where if you have a draft prospect that can run the pick and roll and be a primary ball handler that can put pressure at the rim and do that on an extremely high field goal percentage, well, then it's more valuable than you really realize, because that's the kind of guy that you want to be your number one ball handler. Like, most teams have great point guards that are really good, that can shot create and things of that nature. But, you know, there also is real value to having a guy like Giannis and Scottie Barnes, where they have the ball in their hands and they just finish at the rim so well. Because, again, NBA spacing, it's all about your ability to attack the rim, you know, and make passes to the perimeter and things of that nature. And, you know, Scottie Barnes was the ideal fit to that general thought process in the well-spaced NBA and the pick and roll operating that would allow him to be extremely elite. And, you know, you could definitely make the argument that he could be the best player in the draft class. You know, if I had to rank upsides, he'd definitely be top three in this draft class. And I definitely feel like, you know, I was wrong about him. He's definitely one of the first lessons that I learned. I definitely feel like if I were to do it again, I would hopefully have him in the top five of my draft, you know, even 4 or 3 in the big board. You know what I mean? And Scottie Barnes was definitely one I was wrong about, but he was a really good lesson. Alrighty, let's get to the next guy, which is number 9, which is Jalen Suggs. So, you know, he was somebody that was came off as a good defender, showed some flashes of attacking the rim pretty well, but it looked like his three-point shot creation and mid-range shot creation looked a little raw, and I didn't believe that he would be the next coming of, like, Jason Kidd. You know, he definitely was somebody that people were very surprised when Toronto drafted Scottie Barnes with Jalen Suggs, because Jalen Suggs was thought of, like, the number 4th guy forever, you know. So I definitely feel like this year he was the 5th pick by Orlando. This year, he's averaging 12.6 points per game, 3.1 rebounds, 2.7 assists, and 47% field goal percentage and 39% three-point percentage. So he is their starting point guard right now. You know, the Magic have a really good team. He definitely looks like he can be a, you know, a really solid low to mid-tier point guard in the NBA. I do feel like having him around 9 on my big board, I don't feel that was very wrong. I feel like that was pretty accurate. Maybe 9, 8, or 7. But I definitely feel like having him as a top 5 pick and me not doing that on the big board was correct. Alrighty. Let's go ahead and kick it to the next guy. Thank goodness. Because Josh Giddey, the first mock that I ever did, was super low. Super low, like 17, 18. Thank goodness I moved into the 10. So we can look back at this and be like, well, he wasn't that wrong. So yeah, Josh Giddey was number 10 on my big board. Really unique draft prospect. 6'8 point guard. I definitely saw that. He wasn't very athletically gifted. He had really great finishes at the rim, though. He had an insane layup package. You know, his shooting splits in the NBL weren't amazing, but, you know, him coming in the draft class, like, right behind LaMelo Ball really allowed him to, like, be like, okay, well, his shooting splits are not that bad, but they're not as bad as LaMelo's coming out of the NBL, and look how good he's been. So, you know, he's end up being the 6th pick in the NBA draft, 12.3 points per game, 6.4 rebounds, 4.8 assists, 47% field goal percentage, and 33% three-point percentage. So, you know, Josh Giddey is definitely somebody that I should have had higher. I should have had him around 7 or 6 area, you know, his, because he's so tall for the point guard position. Like, most people are like, oh, I want a 6'6", 6'5" point guard. 6'8" is just so tall. And because of that length, he could definitely finish at the rim with length. So he can really still put pressure at the rim, and his overall passing gifts are just so special. They're so special coming out of the NBL. The dude's a real basketball genius. All right, so the next guy to break down from the big board is number 11, which is Zaire Williams. So, you know, this guy's 6'8" small forward. The flesh is a lot of really intriguing perimeter shot creation and three-point shot creation. But he definitely did it very inefficiently coming out of Stanford. You know, Memphis Grizzlies agreed with me because they drafted him with the 10th pick in the draft. But he's definitely not hit what his upside has been at all. He's averaging 8.2 points per game, 3.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, 39% field goal percentage, 30% three-point percentage. So, you know, this guy is...
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Definitely busted so far. He doesn't really look like he's going to ever grow into his gifts. You know, this does happen from time to time with high upside guys as they just bust. And it's looking like he's going to be one of those guys. Alrighty, and the next guy to break down was Keon Johnson, number 12th ranked guy. He got drafted 21st overall. You know, he's 6'5" with an insane vertical. Like, he was really athletically gifted, but he really only had mid-range shot creation. It was really close to the rim, like kind of free throw in ish. You know, he's right now, I saw some flashes of DeMar DeRozan in him, so I had him. He's averaging 6.2 points per game, 1.4 rebounds, 0.6 assists, 38% field goal percentage, 34% three-point percentage. Again, you know, just like Kai Jones, this is a great lesson of don't get bought into the athleticist. Don't get stuck up in the athleticist, because, you know, the skill was definitely a red flag, right? You know what I mean? And, you know, I have... My thought process in drafts is let's not overrate how much skill can develop, right? They are only going to, they usually show flashes of what they could be in college. And, you know, don't underrate how, like, little skill can be added with time is the best way to put it. And I feel like Keon Johnson is a great example of that. And, you know, definitely somebody that didn't have a ton of skill. So then, why was he drafted where he was? Well, it's because you bought into the athletic gifts, like me, and it just wasn't there. Alrighty, so the next guy to break down is the 13th ranked big guy on my big board, which is Cam Thomas. You know, I definitely understood why everybody else was low on him, because people thought 6'3", and, you know, shot-creating guy, not overly athletic. But me personally, I saw... What I really loved about him was the footwork and the shot creation quality. I mean, this guy at LSU was just insanely skilled mid-range and three-point shot creation. I mean, it was the real deal. He really had it. Like, he definitely showed flashes of what he ended up becoming, which is the oh my goodness from the draft class. Because the man last year averaged 22.5 points per game, 3.2 rebounds, 2.9 assists, 44% field goal percentage, 36% three-point percentage. And he's probably the face of the Brooklyn Nets franchise. Like, when you think about it, people think Mikal Bridges first. But for the next 5 years, yeah, definitely Cam Thomas. He got drafted 27th overall, so it's definitely more right than the NBA was about Cam Thomas. This is definitely a skill pick, and people really have to, you know, learn how to draft slow and skilled. And this is the first one that I got right. And this is, you know, Cam Thomas has done a heck of a job. He is the real deal bucket-wise, and he is what in the NBA, what he looked like in LSU. He superior shot creation skill that allows him to use that 6-foot frame, which he has put a lot of muscle onto, you know, to create space and get these shots off. And, you know, Cam Thomas is the real deal, man. He is the real deal, and he thinks he's the real deal. That's the right mentality for it as well. All right, the next guy to break down is number 14 on my big board, which is Nashawn Bones-Hyland. So, you know, this guy had really great three-point shot creation, deep three-point shot creation at VCU. 6'3", flush some ability to get to the rim as well. You know, he was a smaller guy for the shooting guard position, but he did measure it with like a 6'9" wingspan, so I did think he was going to be able to guard the shooting guard position. You know, so far in the league, he had a peak with the Denver, was averaging like 12 points per game coming off the bench. It made all rookie team, but since he's gotten drafted, traded to the Clippers, he's been really poor. It's 26th pick in the draft. He's averaging 6.9 points per game, 1.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 38% field goal percentage, 32% three-point percentage. You know, he's behind James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Eric Gordon, a team that's ready to win now and doesn't really want his shot creation coming off the bench at this moment in time. That's at least what it looks like. They want him as like a young developmental piece. He's been very outspoken about being discontent about his situation, which would make sense because, you know, he's just not in the spot where he can show his skill and develop his game as much. So, you know, it looked like year one and two that I got this correct, but how I was doing in Denver. But, you know, either he moves to a different spot or we're not going to know for like 4 years if he's going to be worth the 14th guy on the big board, because, you know, it's going to take time, because if the Clippers are going to retain James Harden, Russell Westbrook on that core, then he's not going to just get much minutes because those guys are just so good right now, you know, ready to win right now for the playoffs. Alrighty, the next guy to break down on my big board was Jared Butler. You know, he was the other point guard from Baylor. He, you know, showed flashes of shot creation, 3-point line, mid-range, and finishing at the rim. He ended up being the 40th pick, averaging 6.3 points per game, 1.5 assists, 1.5 rebounds, 3.2 assists, 48% field goal percentage, 30% three-point percentage. Man, did I get this wrong. Jared Butler is definitely not worth the 15th pick. Hopefully, if I would have watched full games like I do now of players like him, I would have seen those things. But yeah, he definitely did not hit on the 15th guy in the big board. I definitely got that wrong. All right, so the next guy to break down is Franz Wagner. Guy and ranked on my big board. You know, he definitely showed some 3-point, you know, pull-up shots, and, you know, he was running pick and rolls at Michigan. That's like the main ball handler. I personally didn't think that that was going to translate to the NBA, so I had him really low on the board. Obviously, I was really wrong about Franz. He was much more skilled than I gave him credit for coming out of Michigan. You know, he's averaging 19.7 points per game, 5.3 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 48% field goal percentage, 28.1% three-point percentage. He was the 8th pick of the draft. You know, Franz Wagner, man, I got that really wrong. He is definitely a lesson in pick and roll operating forwards and their skill sets. And yeah, I was definitely wrong about Franz. And the next guy to break down is Corey Kispert. Corey Kispert was the 17th ranked guy in mid-big board. He was ended up being the 15th draft pick. He's definitely a really good three-point shooter coming out of Gonzaga, 6'6", you know, moved off ball well, showed some flashes of driving to the rim and finishing. You know, he's been a decent role player for the Washington Wizards, averaging 13.4 points per game, 2.8 rebounds, 2 assists, 40% field goal percentage, 38% three-point percentage, but he doesn't have a super high upside. All right, the next guy to break down on the big board is number 18, Usman Garuba. So I had him, I really thought that he was going to be a lot like Draymond Green. I really thought that his defensive abilities from Real Madrid was going to translate to the NBA. You know, the Houston Rockets did think similarly because they drafted the 23rd pick in the draft. But he's definitely busted 20.5 points, 1.2 rebounds, 0.02 assists, 16% field goal percentage, and 0% three-point percentage. He's definitely been a bust from this draft. Next guy up on my big board was Isaiah Jackson, around 6'10". You know, he's looked like a guy that's going to be a small ball center coming out of Kentucky. You know, he definitely has not translated into the NBA as a whole. He was a 22nd pick in the draft, 6.4 points, 4 rebounds, pointed assist, 66% field goal percentage, 0% three-point percentage. You know, Isaiah Jackson was definitely somebody that was viewed as a small ball center. And, you know, that era is kind of dying out as like the 6'10 guy having a ton of hype. And I definitely feel like, you know, he was a guy that was caught in an era where it's kind of going back to taller centers. Alrighty, so we're just going to go ahead and only break down the top 20 of the big board. Trey Murphy. You know, he's one of those upper class in the NBA draft, 6'9" with a really good 7-foot wingspan. He looked like he really could defend really well and stand still 3-point shot really well and, you know, drive to the rim really well. And he's definitely translated those gifts to being a really elite 3-and-D wing in the NBA. He was the 17th pick by the Pelicans, averaging 14.8 points per game, 4.9 rebounds, 2.2 assists, 44% field goal percentage, 36% three-point percentage. And, you know, he's probably the ideal 3-and-D wing prospect that, you know, has come out in the last few years. He definitely is a perfect fit for that role, and he's really the ideal player for that role that's come out. So, yeah. He's the real deal, Trey Murphy.
All right, the next person to break down, the 21st ranked guy on my big board, was Chris Duarte. This guy ended up being the 13th pick in the draft. He was a senior. He was somebody that moved really well off ball, showed some flashes of shot creation off the dribble. I did write that if he had that skill set at that 6'6 length or 6'5 length coming out of college, that he would have been top 14 pick. He ended up getting the 13th pick in the draft by the Pacers. He's definitely looked like a bust so far this year. He's averaged 3.9 points per game, 2.8 rebounds, 0.7 assists, 38% field goal percentage, and 34% three-point percentage. The next person to break down is Jalen Johnson. Was the 22nd ranked guy on my big board. He was 6'8". You know, he quit Duke after like six games played, so there's a lot of character questions and overall questions about his game and skill set translating to the NBA. He ended up being the 22nd pick by the Atlanta Hawks, and he's really been playing so well. He's averaging 16 points per game, 8.7 rebounds, 3.6 assists, 51% field goal percentage, 35% three-point percentage. You know, he was definitely raw, and he definitely saw flashes of him attacking the rim and making passes out of those situations, but everything looked really raw at that time. I definitely feel like if there is a lesson, is if you're going to take a shot on a boom or bust guy, you'd probably rather take it on a small forward than a guard, because they'll always have the height advantage, and he always did have pretty decent athletic gifts as well. So Jalen Johnson's definitely worked out. The next guy to break down was 23rd on my big board, which was Moses Moody. I was lower on him than everybody else coming out. You know, I understand he was 6'6 with a 7'1" wingspan, had some 3-point shooting ability and could come off ball and things of that nature, and I just personally didn't really see it that much. He was the 14th pick by the Golden State Warriors. He's averaging 8.1 points per game, 3 rebounds, 0.9 assists, 46% field goal percentage, and 36% three-point percentage. You know, he's definitely has not been playing like the 14th pick in the draft. He's definitely been somebody that's in like the low 20s or high teens, 19, 18 of like the best players out of this draft class. But he's definitely was not worth the 14th pick. So I was probably more so right about this guy. The next guy to go over is Nemus Queta. He was a junior from Utah State that I really liked as a shot blocker and thought that he would be a shot blocker in the NBA and at least be a backup center. He's the 39th pick in the draft. He is averaging 5.5 points per game, 4.4 rebounds, 0.7 assists, 64% field goal percentage, and 3% three-point percentage. 0% three-point percentage, much bad. He's actually coming off the bench for the Boston Celtics right now, so there's a chance that this guy's going to have a ring, which is interesting. And I guess so far his career arc is working better than the 39th pick, so this may be correct. We'll see. We'll give it some more time, but, you know, so far it's been impressive how long he stayed in the league already. Let's go ahead and kick at the next guy, which is my 25th ranked guy, which is Trey Mann. You know, he's definitely had some flashes of some 3-point shot creation. Everything was a little raw coming out of Florida. He was also 6'4", not really a great athlete, so there are some things that you could definitely be holes in his game that I saw coming out of Florida. He got drafted the 18th pick in the draft. He right now is averaging 11.9 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 5.2 assists, 45% field goal percentage, and 36% three-point percentage. You know, he's having a really good season this year, you know, and definitely going to be really interesting to see how he grows. I was definitely wrong about him, the 18th pick, because it was a really good spot for them, for the Thunder. Alrighty, the next guy to talk about is 26th ranked guy, which was Josh Christopher. You know, he was a really highly touted guy coming out of high school that I just wasn't really big on. You know, he ended up being the 24th pick. He's not really in the NBA right now. He's definitely somebody that's a really good proof of just don't buy into the high school hype. Just because somebody's good at coming out of high school means absolutely nothing. Josh Christopher is a great example of that. Alrighty, time to talk about the man, the myth, the legend, the guy that I got wrong and most people got wrong, Alperen Sengun, 27th ranked guy coming out, I thought 6'10", not a good athlete. I didn't think he would be able to defend well. I didn't think his offensive skill outside of extremely great post footwork would translate. Man, have I been proven wrong? He was drafted 16th overall. The Houston Rockets actually traded up to draft him, so they probably had him higher on their big board than the 16th pick to warrant them trading up for him. He's averaging 21 points per game, 9.3 rebounds, 5 assists, 53% field goal percentage, 29.7% three percentage. Again, like I've talked about with the current draft and Kyle Filipowski, he's a great lesson that I've learned about slow skilled centers having those passing abilities and how valuable and translatable that skill set, specifically speaking, is to the NBA. And Albert Sagoon's one that I definitely got wrong. Already, 28th guy is Sharif Cooper. You know, a lot of people were really high on him. He went to the 48th pick in the draft. He's not in the NBA right now. You know, he was also a highly touted guy coming out of high school. Three-point shot was really poor at 22%. You know, that's the reason why it's not really translating for him, for Sharif Cooper. He's not really an NBA guy. And, you know, even I had him too high at the 20th pick, but most mock drafts had him much higher than where I have him. Next guy is Isaiah Todd. About a 6'10" guy coming out of the G League that year who shoot threes really well. He was the 31st pick, but he's not in the NBA right now. He's still in the G League. I think the Bucks own his rights right now, so it's going to be interesting if long term they're going to be able to bring him in. But yeah, right now it's not looking too great. All right, so in the 30th ranked guy on my big board is Quentin Grimes. He's the 25th pick in the draft. He had some really nice shot creation on the dribble. He was like a junior or senior, if I remember correctly, coming out of Houston. 7.3 points a game, 2 rebounds, 1.2 assists, 39% field goal percentage, 36% three-point percentage. You know, he's a pretty decent bench guard for the Knicks, but since they've added Dante DiVincenzo, he just hasn't been getting as many minutes. So, you know, he's a guy that may be fading out of the NBA. It's a little early to tell, but yeah. And I don't really have that many guys to talk about in the second round. The only guy that's like really interesting that I feel like I want to talk about is number 40 ranked for me was Herb Jones. He was the 35th pick. You know, he's a great example of a really ideal senior D and wing, like coming out of Alabama. This guy was like really looked like a really elite defender and shot 35% of the 3-point line. You know what I mean? Like he's the because, you know, a lot of 3-and-D prospects that get drafted in drafts are thought of as like, we'll draft an 18 or 19 year old. And, you know, if their skill set doesn't develop, they'll be a 3-and-D guy. Right. Like there's no guarantee that they're going to be a 3-and-D guy. Like a good example of that is BJ Boston. BJ Boston was the 32nd ranked guy on my big board. He was drafted 51 first overall. But a lot of teams hope, like, oh, if he's not going to be able to, you know, grow into a BJ Boston skill set coming out of high school, one day he's going to be a 3-and-D guy once he grows into his body frame. Like, there's just not as much guarantee. And, you know, not everybody can be a good defender, even if some people have the body frame to be good defenders. Some of them don't want to be. Some of them can't coach to be. Some of them, you know, it's a tough niche basketball thought process and players that are defensive specialists that bring it on the defensive end. But, you know, NBA GMs and franchises are looking to bring those guys off a bench, specifically speaking. So, you know, I definitely feel like, you know, Herb Jones is a perfect example of I'd much rather have as like an ideal sixth or seventh guy coming off the bench a senior that you know can defend like that and, you know, be that kind of 3-and-D guy that has the athleticism, has the frame, you know, that can be a Herb Jones and do well in the NBA. And Herb Jones is definitely an example of that prototype that I really, really genuinely like. A really a good example of that this year is Jalen Bridges for Baylor, where he's like got the athleticism, 6'9". She's like 40% from the 3-point line, defends really well on ball, really flashes those skill sets, looks committed to the defensive end. That's the really the like ideal senior type of guy and the real prototype for that kind of thought process. And guys that are successful in the NBA is definitely Herb Jones. It's definitely a lesson I have from that draft class. And if I had to redo it, I definitely would have had him higher than 40. So yeah, this is going to be the end of the breakdown of 3 years ago. Basically, next week, we got a really interesting podcast where it's going to be strengths and weaknesses of this current draft class. and it's going to be really fun. Really looking forward to making it for you guys. And this is going to be the end of the podcast. I really appreciate anybody that's listening. Hopefully you guys all have a great week.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.